Good morning, we're on Chaf Vav in the Beis. We are going to be moving forward. We're up to the word Itmar, which is about maybe 10 lines or so from the top.
12 to be exact.
To be exact, okay. Okay. I knew that you would... yeah, of course. Itmar. Okay. Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Chanina. Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Chanina Amar, he says that Tfilos Avos Tiknu, the whole davening that we are constantly involved in the morning, in the afternoon, in the evening, is based around our Avos. They're the ones that instituted this. And as Rashi tells us over here, Avos Tiknum Kidiktani Bebreisel Kameh. So we're going to see a Breisel later on, which is not going to be too far down. We're going to see a Breisel which supports that it was our Avos that instituted the Tfilos. Now, of course, that's not going to mean the Shmon Esrei that we're familiar with was the Shmon Esrei that they davened. They obviously weren't being mispalil for the Beis Hamikdash to be rebuilt and things of that nature.
Did they write it down, by the way?
It really was the Anshei Knesset HaGedolah that were the ones that actually established the Nusach of Tefil as we know it.
So how do we know what the Sorah we have from the Avos, though?
We're going to see that through the various Pesukim in the Torah that corresponds to them davening. Now, of course, again, their davening is not the same davening as we have.
I understand what I'm saying, but did they pass that down to the next generations until finally Anshei Knesset
No.
No. Taking the pieces of that says that they just established that they should daven three times a day.
Right.
Daven three times a day.
What they said
they didn't say what to daven.
It's like we say, you know, like say for benching, rubber dub dub, thanks for the
rubber. Well,
God. Yeah, so, I mean, you know, just being facetious. Okay.
I would imagine the feel of the others were more.
More sophisticated.
I would certainly imagine so, yes. Anyway, so we're going to see the Breisel which supports that and which of the Tfilos of the Avos instituted. We'll see that when we get to that Breisel. Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi Omer Tfilos Keneged Tamidin Tiknum. Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, he says that the reason why we daven as we do is Keneged the Tamidin. And interesting over here, Rashi says Anshei Knesset HaGedolah. Rashi only brings the Anshei Knesset HaGedolah. The men of the great assembly are the ones that instituted it based on the Karbanos. Okay? But either way...
But they didn't do it till after the Talmud, after the Korban Bayis Rishon?
Apparently so. Apparently that's what it's saying. Once they,
that's when the Talmud disappeared, as we don't
know. Right. Exactly. So... either way, it addresses the question as to why we have to have a set davening, because that's always a very legitimate question that when a person has a desire, an emotion to want to be mispalil, so then it's going to be more heartfelt. Why would we have specific times that we have to daven in which potentially could become rote and routine? Well, the answer is that it was previously instituted that it was supposed to be that way. Of course, you still have to address how to be able to make sure that your davening is not rote and routine, but clearly based on the Karban Tumid, it was something which was not just done once in a while, but it was constantly, that constant connection. And also our Avos teach us that it's something which we have to do continuously throughout our lives and every single day. And certainly worthwhile thinking about the reasoning as to why it's done. But the basic understanding, very, very basic before we get into the Breisos, is that when a person davens all the time, and the purpose of tefillah, as we've mentioned previously, is not just to ask Hashem for our needs, but to show our dependence on God. And that's something which we need to do continuously throughout our lives and every single day, all three points of our day. So therefore, for it to be a set tefillah is to show that throughout the course of our lives, we're always dependent. As opposed to if it wasn't a set tefillah, that what ends up happening is, so I don't really need God today. I'm doing pretty well, so I don't need to pray. But once I need Him, oh, today I need God. But the truth is, that's counter the whole philosophy of what tefillah is that we always are dependent on God. Not just when we think we need him, but it's continuously, and we have to be in tune to that. Tanya Kavasa Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Chanina. Now, Tanya Kavasa Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi. Gemara continues and says that we have Brisa so supporting both of these opinions. Tanya Kavasa Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Chanina. Avraham tikin tefillah shachris. So, we have a Brisa that says that it was Avraham Avinu that was one that instituted the concept of davening in the morning. Shenemar, as the Pasuk says, V'yashkim Avraham b'boiker el ha-mokum asher omad sham. So Avraham woke up, he got up in the morning, and he went to the place, asher omad sham, to the place which he was standing there. And we, in the first parak, it discusses that this also teaches us the inyan of having a makam kavua, that one is supposed to stay in the exact same place every time that they daven. Because it says, asher omad sham, the place that he was previously is the same place that he would daven a second time. So, and we know one of the names of Shemona Esrei is the Amida. And it's based on this pasuk, based on this way Avraham davened. Vein Amida el tefillah. The word Amida means tefillah. When one stands, it must be referring to davening. Shnemar, as we find elsewhere, V'yamad Pinchas v'yifalil. So it says that when it came to Pinchas, when he was davening, he stood and he prayed. And therefore we see this concept of V'yamad. Because if you just think about it, V'yamad also, it doesn't mean you're standing, it means you're standing still. The question is, why would a person be standing still? If you're tired, you sit down, you lie down. If you're standing, you're walking somewhere. Why is a person just literally standing in one place, right? If you're not a person davening, how often are you just going to be standing in one place doing nothing? So it must be that you're doing something, and that's davening. Of course, also, Dolith Nemiata Olmed. You have to know who you're standing in front of, so that's also represents tefillah, the idea of standing before a melech, person when they're davening. That's the idea of davening when you're standing, is that you're going to be conversing or to a king, melech melechim lochim. Certainly one needs to be standing to show their proper respect. Yitzchak tikin tefillas mincha. Then the Braisa continues and tells us that it was Yitzchak Avinu then instituted the mincha tefillah. Shne'emar, as it says, V'yitzi Yitzchak lasuach basada lifnoisar. It says that Yitzchak went out lasuach to converse in a field lifnois arev, toward the evening. Lifnois arev means it was not yet dark, but it was lifnois arev. So therefore, that's in the afternoon. It's certainly beyond Chatzos, certainly beyond 6.5 hours in the day, and that's when he davened.
Why do we have the whole Indian with Pada Mincha and early Mincha, Gedola, if this Beferish, we look to the Avos and we look to Yitzchak, or saying that, you know, they said the thing and they said the time, he says, Lifnos Erev. Lifnos Erev is before night.
Right.
So before night, not 3 hours before night. It is. True. So why is a mincha keva, like we daven here in the shul, why is this that we have, you know, vaga mincha, chatzos, early, you know,
right.
It's the feirish, we're looking to the others, why do we
correct
fool around with that, so to speak?
Absolutely, it's a very good question. We're going to see in the next brisa that according to the opinion that it's connected to karbanos, or connected to tamidin, that is specific to those times. So certainly we're going to glean from the second brisa of the reasoning of the times of the zman of the tefillah, which are connected to those things, which we're going to see shortly. But in addition to that, there is also the point, as you mentioned, of davening lifnoi sarev. There is an inyan of davening close to shkia, actually, as the Gemara in this parak discusses. It's called davening im dimdumi chama, the lashon of the Gemara, with the redness of the sun, which is referring to shachris and mincha. Shachris, the best time to daven is as soon as the sun is just beginning to rise, just like the sikin. And mincha time, the best time to daven is when the sun is setting, which is also the sun is the redness of the sun. And obviously, there's a question of what are we supposed to be thinking about during davening, and we can maybe use the sun as some type of external stimuli to tap into something when you look at the redness of the sun, which we'll get into.
When it says Yitzchak was Musakei Mincha,
yeah,
does that mean he was Musakei the Shemona Esrei? Which Avraham, who made
the
original Shemona Esrei?
He said
that Ashi Kness is a Dole.
And they were Musakei that you should daven such a, you should daven
at his time, at this time, during that time.
Right, right. So
every yeshiva has a Mincha Gedola. you think they would be restricted and limited to reading time?
The reason generally why yeshivas do it that way and why they is because this way throughout the entire year they always daven mincha and marv the exact same time. So this way they never have to worry about shkia, they never have to worry about Seitz
HaKachavim. I mean, the Daven Mincha, like at 1:30 or something.
I'm saying because the issue is if they daven right before Shkia, then they'll constantly be changing their schedule of when they have second Seder. Yeah. That's basically the reason. there's nothing wrong with davening after Mincha Gedola, but yeah. I mean, it's interesting that it's not done that way, but for practical reasons, that's generally why. It's also a good. They always start second Seder with Mincha, so otherwise second Seder will start maybe 45 minutes after it should start. So hopefully they'll at least go to Mincha, and then once they have Mincha, then they'll be at Seder. I think that's another practical reason. Okay, that's a behind the scenes reason. The Ein Sicha Ela Tefila. When it says Sicha, so what? He was conversing. He was talking, but over there, we know that there was no one else around, and over there. There's the time in which Rivka was coming back, and they met with whom?
Eliezer.
Right. Exactly. So, and it doesn't mention that he was with anyone else. It doesn't mention that he was having a conversation. There was no one else there. So what does it mean? So that's why generally lasuach does not necessarily mean that you're talking to Hashem. Shnemar tefil ani ki atoif. So you had the word sicha over there. Tefil ani kiyatoif. When a person davens kiyatoif, when you wrap yourself, which is alluding to wearing a talis, you're supposed to daven like an ani. Humble. And in front of Hashem, you should pour out your sicha, your words. And sicha, again, generally means like some type of a dialogue. When you're thinking that you're davening to Hashem, it's the realization that you're mamish speaking to Hashem. And Hashem's obviously listening to what is being said. Now, there's a question that's brought down in Tosfos, which if I would wait till the end of the fifth parak to get to it, it may be the summer of 2011. So let's look at this Tosfos on Dach Lamed Dalid Amid Beis. Actually, let's see the Gemara on Lamed Dalet Amid Beis first.
See?
On Lamed Dalet Amid Beis. Oh, sorry. That's the sequel. You need the second. Oh. Anyway, if you look at the very end of the fifth parak, the second to last line on Lamed Dalet Amid Beis, the last wide line. The third word is Omar Rav Kahana. Chotzef alay man dematzli bebikto. It's a chotzef, like a chutzpah. It's wrong. It's improper for a person to be matzli to daven bebikto.
I have the word mafarish instead.
Mafarish
chatei.
That's the line from the bottom of the omid?
Yeah.
That's the Gemara immediately afterwards.
That's
afterwards. They're both Rav Kahana. It's the line before. It's that same line as the beginning of that line.
Oh, I see.
Okay. So I just want to focus on this line. Chatzav alay madamatzim bikta. It's wrong for a person to daven bikta. Rashi, the very last Rashi in the fifth parak says babika. So he's referring to like a valley. Shekashehu b'makim snius. Chol of Amos Melech. I'm not sure what this word is. Belibo, I guess it is. Nishbar. Belibo, Nishbar. It's broken in my Gemara. So Rashi says that if you daven in an open place, so it's hard for you to be able to truly have Amos HaMelech, fear of the king. A person is supposed to daven in a Mokum Snius, in a modest place which is kind of confined and closed. Not something which is open to all the elements. Which is also very easy to be distracted.
But a valley is generally a low point, and we say Mimakim Krasicha Hashem. So why would he use the term the Bika? Because a valley is a lower place, you know. A valley is a space between mountains, it's a low place rather than an open place. And that's saying like a plateau or something.
But if you would be find yourself, let's say, by Mincha time in such a place, if you're in a valley, instead of being Mamashek in the middle, then you should try to find like some area close to a wall or something. That's the reason why people daven like by a wall, or some Tanaim used to daven in corners to avoid distraction. It's also a way to be able to show, as it says, makom snius, to be able to show humility. Snius is not just the way that we dress; it's the way that we think and behave.
Tosus also says that because the
makom shugaya,
you can go to
the Tosus. Well, that's that because Tosus is going to ask this question. The im toimar. So you ask the question. It says, it's written, v'yetzi Yitzchak lasuach basada. So where was Yitzchak? Yitzchak was the one who was masakin tefillas mincha. Which means what we have to do is we look at whatever they did in those psukim and say that is the best way to daven. And what did they do? What did this person do? Not only is it not the best place to daven in the middle of a field, but clearly Rav Kahana feels it's wrong. You're not allowed to daven just in the middle of a field. But that's what the Pasuk says. I mean, there's no way around it. It says he was davening basada, in a field. So, Tosa says two answers. He says like this. Yeshu amar, dehasa mayir bahar hamariya. This is not referring to just a stam, a field. This is har hamariya, right? Kedi amrinim b'sachim b'perek isha loy ki yitzchok shekar sada. So, whatever the Gemara over there discusses, it's referring to the Makom HaMikdash, where the Beis HaMikdash would stand, and that place is called certain things. And for Yaakov, it's called it was a bias, and for him, it was a
didn't
Sada.
Didn't say the Akedah took place in Har HaMoriah? Yeah. Because Yitzhak already knew the place very well, unfortunately.
Yeah, some good memories, or not such good memories.
Right,
yeah.
Exactly.
So, and that also makes sense if we want to go like full circle. If he wanted to have learned from Avraham, he also davened like in a makom kavua, in a set place. So he would.
This was the set place set by his father.
Right. So whenever he would go to daven for whatever he wanted to daven for, that's what he would do. And when it came to him, he was davening presumably for Rivka. Inami. Bigta the Hakamayri Bibika Bamakam Shragilim Shambani Adam Laavor Baholchidrachim. When it's talking about over here, right, it's talking about a place in which many people go, Baholchidrachim, people that are constantly traveling and going through. And when it says Hacha, it means the problem of davening in a Bigta is in a place in which there's constant people moving around, so it takes away from one's concentration, and therefore for that reason that wasn't allowed. But if you apparently according to the second Teretz, he's saying that you're allowed to daven even in an open area provided that it's a secluded open area, and that's still makom snius because no one else is bothering you. I once saw, I don't remember where, that the inyan of Tfilas Mincha. What's so special Tfilas Mincha? Eliyahu HaNavi himself was answered by Dafka by Tfilas Mincha. Shachris and Mariv obviously have certain strengths, but if you think about Shachris and Mariv, Shachris, it's easy to daven. You plan your day, you wake up a few minutes earlier. Mariv, you, before you go to sleep, this. But when it comes to Mincha, Mincha is smack dab in the middle of the day.
You have to go away from what you're doing in order to get the daven.
Exactly. So while a person is involved in their work, they have to stop what they're doing to daven Mincha. So they say, and this may be a shtickle bit of it's a pashup shot. The pasuk is not necessarily referring to where Yitzchak was physically davening. But maybe it's talking about the concept of what people generally do during that time of the day. It says, "Vayetze Yitzchak lasuach basada." And what did people used to do? People worked in the field, and therefore it's coming to allude to the fact that when a person is davening mincha, it's a time of lasuach basada. You should be lasuach. You should daven even when you're basada, even when you're involved in your work. You have to stop what you're doing in order to be able to daven. And therefore that's, Tosus doesn't give that because it's not a push-up shot, but nonetheless it certainly is a possible approach if you would like to read it that way. So let's now go back to our Gemara Chalap Vav Amid Beis. So that was Yitzchak. And again, when we think about the tefillos, we have to think about who are the avos, what did each av represent, which we're going to discuss briefly about, and also to think about the different things that they were doing at that time. Yaakov tikin tefillos arvis. So Yaakov was masakin the tefillah of Mar. Shnemar v'yifka b'makoyim v'yolim shom. So he says v'yifka, he encountered, he met, he reached a certain place, v'yolim shom, and he went to sleep there.
This is the same place again, Har Moriah, as we said, where he had a thing.
This is the dream,
the
right?
Same, the dream, it was on Har Moriah, the same place on his way to...
Right, that's right. Which, again, is interesting that even though this Brisa is going against the concept of Timidin, so where were those carbonos brought? It was in that place. So you see the connection between the tefillah, which we daven, you can look at it the opposite way that most people think. We now daven because of the carbonos, which you don't have. But perhaps if you want to look at the avos that preceded the carbonos, now that they didn't have the tefillah of the avos, then we instituted later on the carbonos.
The carbonos were in the same spot also.
Right. Exactly, exactly, right. So the fact that they davened there could have given the kochos. That's right. So all these things are connected, absolutely. So even though there's a machlokus, if you will, they do connect, and we're going to see at Maskana that they agree in certain matters. Then pegiya el tefila, and when it says pegiya, it's referring dafka to davening. Shenemar v'ato al tispalel ba'ado om. So Hashem was saying to Yirmiyah, in which the Bnei Israel, that they did wrong, that he should not daven on behalf of Ba'ad Ha'am Hazeh, this nation, Valtisa Ba'adom Rino V'Tfila, that he should not raise for this assembly, this group, song and prayer, Valtifkabi, do not encounter me, do not engage in davening toward me. So the fact that it says, do not have Tfila, then it says Valtifkabi, shows that the word pigia is referring specifically to tefillah, to davening marv. So therefore, this is the tefillah of Yaakov that he was masakin. And Rav Shiv asked the following question. Now, it's not brought down over here in any Tosos or anything, but nonetheless, it's worthwhile asking the question. We already established that when it came to tefillah's arvis, it's reshus. It's optional. We don't paskin like that anymore. We have to daven marv. And what Rishus means, we already discussed in Tosfos, which Tosfos is going to mention again in Chavzayim and Beis, which we'll get to eventually. But it's interesting that when it comes to Shacharis, when it comes to Mincha, Chov, you must do it. And not only that, when it comes to Shacharis, it's a very set amount of hours, a few hours. Mincha, also a set amount of time. Marv, you have the whole time to do it, and it's Rishus. It's optional. When we discuss our avos, Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, which other avos are considered to be the bechir shev avos, the chosen of our avos, Yaakov Avinu. So Marshiv asks a question that's very interesting, that of all of our avos, Yaakov was the one that was mesakeh in the tefillah, which seemingly is the least significant. It's very strange. So of course one can answer, well, there was nothing left, right? The other question, as a sidebar, is what Avraham? Does that mean Avraham didn't daven Mincha and Marv? He didn't. He only davened Shacharis. What does that mean that they were misakining? So we'll discuss this in a moment. Obviously, if you study the lives of who is Avraham, who is Yitzchak, and who is Yaakov, we needed to have three avos because they have different midos, certain characteristics in which we're supposed to glean from all of them. And each of the tefillos, even though it's the same Shemona Esrei, same words, but each one corresponds to each of our avos and each of their lives. And if you study their lives, you can think about how it's connected to each of the tefillos, which you can spend a moment or two just thinking about. But he says in the following, Rav Shiva gives the following tarot. He says, imagine you have a doctor. You're sick or whatever, and you need a doctor. So you have a doctor's appointment, and the doctor says, okay, you can come. You have to come at 10 o'clock in the morning. You better be here. Not, I'm going to be very upset at you. you have another doctor's appointment, you know, you can come sometime in the afternoon. My office hours are between 2 and 4, but I'm expecting you to be here. You know, you better be here. And then you have another doctor that says, you know what? Whenever you can come, you can come. And you know what? If you come, I'm more than happy to listen to you right on the spot. If you don't come, nishkafelch, don't worry about it. You don't come today, you'll come tomorrow. I'll always be available. I'll always be there for you. Right. So that's the idea. He says, if you look at it that way, the tefillah of Marv is the most chashuv. Because the concept of tefillah is that Hashem is waiting for us to have a relationship to connect. So when it comes to Shachris and Minchas Achoyiv, you have to do it. When it comes to Marv, Hashem says, you know what? I'm here. If you want, I'm here. If not, not. Which shows the Cheshivas of Tefillas Arvis, of Marv. That's how he explains how, on one hand, it seems to be a contradiction of Bechir Shab Avos, because that really has the tremendous level of Cheshivas. You know, when it comes to, just to focus one more moment on our Avos, we know that each of our Avos have different characteristics. And some people say it basic, from the Mishnah Parkei Avos, that there are three pillars, Torah, Nevot, Gemilas, Chasadim. We know that, and this in itself is interesting, that it's the exact opposite order of our Avos, but Torah represents Yaakov, right? Yitzchak is Avoda, you mentioned the Akedah, and Avraham is represents Chesed. So that is an old vort. Everyone knows that. But if you think about Shachris, Mincha, and Maariv, those three tefillos, I mean, has to be that Shachris somehow represents Chesed. Mincha somehow is the epitome, the most important concept of Avoda, which we've already established, right? That we said out of all the tefillos, Mincha is the most important tefillah in which a person's tefillos are accepted more readily. Which makes sense, that Yitzchak was the greatest level of what is avoda, which is tefillah, is Mincha. Obviously, when it comes to Shachris is so much longer than Mincha and Marv.
Right.
Why is it so much longer? It's so much longer because when you wake up, the natural reaction is we have to be misbal and be show our appreciation for everything that Hashem did for us. Right, that's right. So morning is all about chesed. That's why Avraham is the one who was misakin tefillah shachris. Maariv represents Torah. And in fact, it's brought down in halacha that, you know, you're supposed to learn in the morning and at night. But clearly brought down in the Shulchan Aruch, one cannot compare the cheshivas and importance of learning Torah at night to the day. More important is to dedicate time to Torah at night. And obviously Torah is a shmira. It's a way to protect oneself for certain dangers that potentially could occur with one's Yetzer Hara at night. And therefore, that's why Yaakov instituted these tefillos. Also, tefillos Arvis.
Avraham had a motel. He had to get up early in the morning.
Well, there you go.
He had to serve breakfast.
So got up early in the morning. Yitzchak, he didn't have to get up early in the morning. He had a rich father. He had all the afternoon. He could take a break in the afternoon.
Okay.
Yaakov worked for love all his life. He had to work a full day. He had to put in overtime.
He only had the night time. What can I say?
That we get up in the morning.
Yeah.
Like Chaim Eshel say, "Moda Ani L'Pinecha Shevzat to be Nishmasi."
Right.
When we say Ma'ariv, we're saying Hashkivein LaHashem.
Right.
Which both of them are like have to do with, you know, with the fear, like you say, of death.
True. I mean, the theme of Ma'ariv is Emuna. Bemuna kolzos. That's the theme. Because when it comes to in the morning, the concept is you get up and you can see everything. The lights are on, the sun's shining, so you see. When it comes to the dark, when it's pitch black, without turning on a light, you don't know. You know that when the sun was shining, that this was here and this was here, but when it's dark, you don't know, but you just have the emunah. You know that it was there and it will continue to be there the next morning. That's the concept of emunah. You don't see it, but you know, you're pretty sure that that's the case. And that's what Yaakov had all these challenges throughout his entire life. So he had a lot of nisyonos in Emunah, all the different things that he had to undergo when it came to Lavan, when it came to his brother Esav, and then afterwards Yosef. So he had a lot of Emunah challenges. He had a lot of darkness in his life.
So did Abraham. And Yitzhak had it easy by comparison to the two.
But Yaakov himself, as is alluded to when it came to the wrestling with the Sar Shel Esav, was Dafka at night. It was because that was the whole struggle. The Yaakov struggle was a nighttime type of existence in which it's very easy not to see Hashem, not to see the Chesed. And that's why to learn Torah is to be able to strengthen one's emunah. That's the basic concepts behind of our avos and a little bit about what tefillah is about. So now let's continue with the next brisa. Obviously, you can talk about this forever, but let's move on. So that's brisa which supports the fact that tefillos avos tiknum. But Tatnikivas and Rabbi Yishuv ben Levi, the Gemara continues and cites a brisa in support of Rabbi Yishuv ben Levi, and this is very straight, very quick. So why we daven until chatzos? So you're going to see this brisa which supports, and this really goes through the entire Mishnah on the previous Amud. Because when it comes to the Karban Talmud Shil Shachar, you have until chatzos. Rabbi Yehuda Omer Ad Arba Shaos. Shari Talmud Shil Shachar Karba Hoylechad Arba Shaos. Apparently, there was a machlokas, not when you can daven shacharis between Rabbi Yehuda and Tanakhama, of when can you bring the Talmud until. Right. And perhaps the reason is because, what do you mean, they didn't know, they didn't remember it? So perhaps because it's reason Magdimin, it was never even an issue. They always did it before Arba Shaos. And therefore, it just became a question as to B'di'evid, what do you do?
When is it permitted?
Right. And it's probably, when it came to the Talmud, they probably always did it before. So why, by Mincha until the evening, Shahari Tamashu bin Arbayim, Karvahoyach ad Ha'arev. Rabbi Yehuda Omer ad Plaga Mincha. So Rabbi Yehuda again in our Mishnah says that you have until Plaga Mincha, which we translated was at 4:45, which we're going to see how we get to that. It's 10:45 after sunrise. Shari Tamashil Ben Arbaim Karbaholach ad Plaga Mincha. Because that's when it was. You can only bring the Karba Mincha until that time. How come when it comes to Marv, it's not set? And also, why is it, Taka, that Tefillos Marv, according to some Shitais, is Rishus Shahari Avarim Pedarim Lonit Achum Erev Krem Hoyachim Kohalaila? Because the fats in the limbs that were not consumed on the Mizbeach, we may continue to do so all night. So in the event that there are numerous karbanos in which we've not gone through the entire process of what should be done with them, so we have the ability to continue throughout the evening. We have a little bit of that flex time, that leeway, to be able to bring those karbanos. So, but the idea is like this, clearly from this, what if we did it already, right? We were able to, we had a slow business day, we didn't have a whole lot of karbanos, and therefore the avarim and pedarim, the fats and the limbs, are already consumed in the afternoon. So guess what happens in Marv when it comes to the base of Mikdash? Nothing. They didn't have to do anything. So that's the idea of why tefillah service was reshus, because there were no karbanos that were brought at night. It was only in the event that there had to be more to be done, and it continued into the evening. So therefore, there is this inyan of some action that occurred in the base of Mikdash. So therefore, there should be some action, possibly of davening at night as well. If we look in Rashi over here, so Rashi discusses what exactly are these karbanos. So the varma, the limbs, shel olos, of the elevation offerings, continues Rashi and says, upadarim, the fats, and the limbs, shel shar karbanos, when it comes to other karbanos, shen nizrak damon koidim shkias achama. So it's necessary, at least the shechita has to have taken place before shkia. Also the zrikas adam, which that's the fourth stage. You have the shechita, and then you have the kabbalah, the catching the blood in a vessel, in a kli, and then the bringing the blood to the mizbeach, and then the zrikas adam, the sprinkling of the blood on the mizbeach. That all has to take place before before shkia sachama, before sunset. However, continues Rashi and says that carving kohalayla of a kenegan tiknu tefilas arvis. So he says that nonetheless, the rest of the process of the burning of these limbs and the fats and whatnot That could be done afterwards, as long as the Zerika was done before. As long as you started before Shkia. Continues the Gemara. So why when it comes to Musaf, do you have all day? So when it comes to the Musaf, you have the entire day. Behuda Aymer Ad Sheva Shos, only have until, let's translate it as 1 o'clock. Shahari Karban Musaf Karba Hoylech Ad Sheva Shos. Fine. And then the Gemara asks, Ve'ezuhi mincha gedoyla. So we already talked about what is mincha gedoyla, what's mincha katana, what is plaga mincha, but now we have a brace which spells that a little bit better for us and asks, what is mincha gedoyla? The great mincha. It's mishesh sha'os umechsel malitz, from 6 hours and a half and onward. So it's 6.5 hours after sunrise is mincha gedoyla, and that practically for us, as you can see on the clock behind me, tells us the earliest time, of course you can, tells us the earliest time you can daven mincha. The earliest time you can daven mincha is mincha gedola. Not by chatzos, but mincha gedola, which is what?
1:38.
Right. So that's why one certainly cannot translate it as always as a 6 to 6 day.
Shows
manios, exactly. It's all based on shows manios. So obviously in the summer, in which we have more than 12 hours, but we always consider it as though everything's divided into 12 equal parts. So each hour is more than 60 minutes. Okay. So therefore, that's mincha gedola. So it's sheish shaos umechsel mala. And also, by the way, when it comes to shalshudas, there's an inyan not to have shalshudas until mincha gedola, which there's certain heterin, but to make sure not to do that.
The only time we do it is there a Pesach.
Right.
There's a heter for that, obviously, because you have no other choice. But I was a yeshiva, I came up with this novel concept of getting the longest possible nap, is I would have lunch, and I would go to my room and then have shalshudas and then go to sleep. But then I found out that you have to make sure I have shalshudas after mincha gedoyla. All right. At least it was good while it lasted. Continues the Gemara. Ve'ezehi mincha katana. So what is a small mincha? So let's first translate this. Mitesha she'osu mechsel mala. From 9.5 hours into the day, which is, of course, on a typical day, would be 3:30, right? 6 to 6 is 3:30. So the question is, how am I supposed to remember what is mincha gedola, what is mincha katana? How am I supposed to remember that? So mincha gedola means that there is gedola much time left in the day. Katana means there is a small amount of time left. That's what it means. Mincha gedola, so 6.5. Mincha katana is 9.5.
A long nap is mincha gedola.
Correct, a long nap. Gedola, right. Very good. Okay, so if we look in Rashi over here, before we see the Boilu and the Gemara, yeah, that's the Brisa. Continues Rashi, Mincha Gedola, Im bo lahaktim tamid shel ben harbayim. So this is what is being said over here, that if one is able to bring the carbon tamid shel ben harbayim, the afternoon carbon, early, enu yochul lakdim o kodim shei shos amechsa. You're not allowed to bring it before 6.5 hours into the day. The ben harbayim ksivbe, because it says Ben Harboim, which is the afternoon. So why is it the afternoon? Afternoon Chatzos. So he says, it's Mechi Yinatu Tzaholi Arev. It's from the time in which there is a change in the shade, which is leaning toward the evening. Mishahachama Noitel Arev. In the time in which the sun is going toward the west. Right? Which, of course, the Arev means west, and also is the same letters as nighttime, Arit, Mariv, Arvit, because that's how the sun sets toward the west, which is what causes it to become dark. The Hainu Mishay Shel So Maxol Mal, which is 6.5 hours. Diomer Mar, Chatzishesh V'Chatzisheva, Chamo Imedes B'Reish Kol Adam B'Emsarakia. Between the 6th and the 7th hour, that's when the sun is in the middle of the sky. Mincha Katana Rashi says, Zman Tamid Shel Ben Arboyim. This is the time of the bringing the Tamid Shel Ben Arboyim, the afternoon carbon. B'chol Yoyim Miteisha Shos Amechsel Mala, from any time from the 9.5 hours onward. This is how one, that's when it was brought. But a person could technically, as we just saw in the previous Rashi, bring the Tamid Ben Arboyim before. But really it was brought by Mincha Katana. K'netnan B'tamid B'tam Nishchat, as it says in such a parak, Nishchat b'shmeinu mechsa v'kar b'teisho mechsa v'asim b'farsh time. Over there, the Gemara discusses the reason why it was brought dafka during that particular time. Continues the Gemara. Iboil, who asked your question? Rabbi Yehuda, when he mentions that you have until plag...
When did they bring the carbon shofar? That was after the nine and a half, usually.
Right. Typically, it was brought after Mincha Katana.
In reality, they could have brought it after the 6.5 hours.
Correct. It could have been brought earlier. Right. Going back to what Stephen said, perhaps that's also the Indian of Lifnos Arev, that when it came to Yitzchak, that he did it dafka closer to sunset. So therefore, we can perhaps also glean that that's the reason why they did it after Mincha Katana, perhaps. So now the Gemara asks the question, Iboilhu, but Rabbi Yehuda plag Mincha Kama Kaimar, or plag Mincha Achroina Kaimar. When Rabbi Yehuda mentioned his statement that you have until plag HaMincha, very vague statement of the Mishnah of when one can daven Mincha, of course the Tanakhama says you have until the evening, Shkia. Rabbi Yehuda says you have until plag HaMincha, until half of Mincha. Well, what is half of Mincha? Right? It could mean half of Mincha Katana, right? So if it would be half of Mincha Katana,
6.5 hours and 9.5 hours should be 8 hours.
Between 6.5 and 12 hours is 5.5 hours. So half of 5.5 would be 2.75.
Yeah, but Mincha Katana is not 9.5 hours, isn't it?
Correct. Well, I'm first talking about Mincha Gedola. So if it would be 12:30 is Mincha Gedola, you would only have an additional 2.75 hours to be able to daven Mincha, according if it's when he says plaga Mincha, which would mean what, 3:15. Otherwise, maybe he's referring when he said half of Mincha is referring to Mincha Katana. Mincha Katana starts at 3:30, ends at 6, so there's only a 2.5 hour window. Half of that is 1.25 hours. 3:30.
4:45.
It's 4:45. So the question is, that hour and a half, is it 3:15 or 4:45 according to Rabbi Yehuda? When he just says plaga mincha, but there's two minchas, right? Which one is it? Okay, we know the answer, but the Mishnah is very vague. So we only know this based on the words of the Braisa. And the Braisa answers as follows. He says very clearly, Toshima, come in here. Tesanya Yehuda Omer plaga mincha achorina. When I say plaga mincha, I'm referring to the achrona. He doesn't call it mincha katana. He calls it the latter mincha, which of course is mincha katana. Vihi yud aleph shaos chasraviyah. This is 11 hours minus a quarter, which is a funny way of saying 10.75 hours or 3.45. What?
Mm-hmm. Where does he get his man from?
Apparently, he's of the opinion that that was the time in which one was able to only that they brought the Karmat Talmud until. Only until that particular time, and not afterwards.
Not afterwards. Because they brought it from 9.5 to 11.45.
From
9 to 10.45. 9.5 to 10.45.
You could, from Minch.
From Minch to Gedol.
Which would be 12:30 in the afternoon on a perfect day.
6.5 hours.
Until 4:45. And as we'll discuss when we get into the... He holds half of Mincha Katana, which means between Mincha Katana and Shkia. Half. What is ever in between Mincha Katana and Shkia?
Mincha Katana and Shkia is the time that you're allowed to bring the... that they brought
it up until, but not after. You can only dive in, you can only bring the carb until then, but not afterwards. 4:45. 10:45 means 10
hours.
10:45 hours.
After sunrise, correct.
Williamsburg is 10:45 p.m.
Well, in some countries that may be before Shkia, but not here. So, anyway, the point is, and of course, what this Bryce is teaching us, as we mentioned, and Lahalachitz, we're going to discuss this when we get into Mincha a little bit more, is that according to Rabbi Yehuda, just as they could not bring the Talmid after 10.75 hours after sunrise, even though it's the light outside, according to the Shita Rabbi Yehuda, and what this Bryce is teaching us, that our davening is connected to the Tamidin, so that you couldn't daven Mincha afterwards. So even it's past Plaga Mincha, You're not allowed to daven mincha. It's too late, even though it's sunny outside, according to Shita Rabbi Huda. Obviously, we don't paskin like that because we daven mincha before shkia, which is well after. Well after plag. But nonetheless, there are halachic ramifications.
So according to this, they could bring the carbon until shkia also.
According to the opinion, only according to the opinion of the Tanakam, but not according to Rabbi Huda. Rabbi Huda says not.
You the ones that are early.
Right. So, and this is, by the way, also the reason that, because Rabbi Huda feels that even though you look outside and it looks like it's still the day, he considers it already the next day that you can no longer bring a carbon after Plag HaMincha, which is the reason why if you want to be Mekabel Shabbos early, you're allowed to be Mekabel Shabbos early, but you cannot accept it before Plag HaMincha. Because what do you mean you're accepting Shabbos early? It doesn't really mean that you're accepting Shabbos early. What you're doing is you're saying, I'm paskening like the sheet of Rabbi Yehuda. Right? And Rabbi Yehuda says that by Plag HaMincha, it's now the next day. So you can't accept Shabbos before
that. Same time frame.
So according to Rabbi Yehuda, you could have daven Marav after that?
What? Well, we're going to get into how one is allowed to do it when.
It's like Krishna.
Right, we're going to discuss why it's allowed. Obviously it is, but we'll discuss why it's allowed when we get to that.
Or in other words, you can't daven this week, plug is 6:52, right?
Right.
So we daven, let's say, a quarter to seven.
Okay? Right.
So davening before plug, mincha.
Which is perfect.
Maariv after plug.
That is the ideal. That is always the ideal.
Yeah, that's why
it doesn't always happen.
They start mincha.
You have to watch out for certain times.
Right. Certain times, a little before this.
Right.
They start mincha when they start to turn the clock.
Right.
That's why we have to be careful the Shabbos and the dinner to make sure when we started to daven early that Shabbos to make sure that we.
The issue wasn't so much about davening mincha because you can daven mincha on a Friday at 2 in the afternoon,
right.
And probably by the time you get into Kabbal Shabbos, you're already past Plag HaMincha. The problem was a couple of years ago that people were lighting Shabbos candles before Plag HaMincha. That was the problem. Because you cannot be Mekabel Shabbos before Plag HaMincha. You can't.
I don't know. Something has changed. Like my wife said. We learned many a year ago here with Douglas Cummings.
Yeah.
This whole opinion about lighting candles.
Yeah.
And Rabbi Kenneth Pascal and Shalom held, when you make early Shabbos, you're supposed to take a time and can keep that time constantly
right.
When the person is supposed to light the candles. For example, I remember those times, we used to hold it up till now, now they say it's wrong. You go to shul at 6:45, your wife lights candles at 6:45.
Right.
6:20. Right. And keeps that way every week. There's a certain reason for it. I don't know, I don't remember. And these people held that way.
Okay.
Now they say you're not supposed to. You have to wait till like 5 to 7, this past week.
Until after
right.
Is there a justification for 4 o'clock or not?
It's not Shabbos. It's not Shabbos. It's Friday.
So
you know? I can't say today's Shabbos. Today's not Shabbos.
I'm sure there
are people who lie. I'm sure to 7
that it should be addressed.
In other words, let's say I'm going to shul at 6:45.
Right.
My wife says, okay, we're going to shul on the light.
Right.
You have to stop the lighting before plot.
And we should make
she's not doing that, but she's always
late. When you should light candles.
Well, then that's good.
Go earlier than that.
I think from now till Rosh Hashanah, we should put in the bulletin the right time to light candles are, if you're starting early Shabbos, you can't light candles till. And before.
Right.
Because I'll guarantee you, go around the whole shul,
90%
of the people aren't even thinking of it.
Well, for sure, of course not.
No. But
so people are lighting before 6:45?
Right.
Wow. Yeah.
Or at 6:45. In other words, the husband is going to shul.
That's a legitimate point. Right. That's a very legitimate point.
Therefore, I think in the bulletin, you should put in these weeks.
Do not light.
Do not light before.
Do not light before. And
right.
You must light by this and this time.
Well, the by we do have.
Right, that's the
time. Okay.
We don't have the...
Before. I think a note should be...
Not before.
Maybe you want to address it in shul.
Very good point. It's a very valid point.
Very good.
Taka. So, an interesting. Let's give me a few more minutes over here. I just want to be able to share with you one thought on the Magen Avraham, and then we're going to conclude this piece. The Magen Avraham says that since we're talking about being Mekabel Shabbos early, based on this Brisa that says that the reason why we daven Marv is Keneged the Avarim Pedarim, the fats and the limbs that were being that were brought into the evening. He says it was Shabbos Aser Litna. On Shabbos, they were not allowed to do that, right? He says, "Lachein mahani hatfila miboyd yom." He says that's the reason why even those people that would not typically daven Mariv while it's day, he says there taka may be an inyan to daven Mariv on Friday before it's dark, because the whole concept of Evarim Epidarim doesn't apply, because you're not allowed to do that on Shabbos. It has to be done before Shabbos. So therefore, he says, interestingly enough, that perhaps that's an inyan to be Mekabel Shabbos early, to daven Marv before Shkia. Okay.
And it would be always.
Right,
in other words,
right.
In the wintertime also, he would want to daven early.
Correct. Again, of course, our tefillah is not a carbon. So it's not...
We never wait. I don't know the shul that waits. Never. We miss the Marv on Friday night.
Right.
Well, we should.
No.
What do you mean?
According to this.
Yeah, but it depends on when you're davening. When you're davening.
No, but according to this reasoning,
we should do the right thing right away.
Right.
That's what we do.
It's just an interesting.
You should do this, for instance, on the Kabbal Shabbos right away, and then before Baruch Hu they stop and they wait until after
dark.
The Dav Marif. For Kabbal Shabbos, they do right away.
So let's just finish up this piece. So name it to have it to Tiyuf, we're back in the Gemara. Let's say it's a Tiyuf, the refutation of Rabbi Yosef Rav Chanina. After all, you have this Brisa that is very clear, and it's not just the Brisa, because you could say, how about the other Brisa? It should be a Tiyuf on the other person, right? On Rabbi Shuben Levi. This is a stronger Brisa. The Gemara asks the question, is it Tiyuf? We have the second Brisa, which clearly says that Tfilos are connected to Tamidin. So how could you say that it's connected to the Avos? So why is that a tiyufta? You can say it the other way around, right? Because the other brisa doesn't mention anything about karbanos. But this is a bigger question. The reason why it's a bigger problem is because we see a whole mishnah basing tefillah, the zman of tefillah, based on this brisa. We don't see anything like that based on the previous brisa. So Rabbi Yosef Rav Chanina, all mimlocha tefillos avos tiknum. I'm sticking to my guns. That tefillos avos tiknum. That the reasoning of our davening is connected our avos, of course, which is connected.
Connected our avos, but the avos were misakin.
And they're the ones misakin, right? Which of course makes sense in the very first paragraph of our Shemoneh Esrei talks about our avos. That's mechinu rabbanon karbanos. And our rabbanon, when they instituted the actual nusach of the Shemoneh Esrei, they relied also on the karbanos. The ilu temahachi tefilas musaf Rav Yosef Rav Chanina man tikna. This brisa overlooks tefilas
musaf.
So which of our avos daven instituted musaf? El tefilas avos tikna v'as mechinu rabbanon karbanos. And we look at tefilas musaf; it's all about karbanos. So certainly we cannot say that Tfilos Avos Tiknum is dependent and is separate from this other brisa. Everyone agrees that our davening is connected to the karbanos, but this also, according to this opinion, feels that Tfilos Avos Tiknum. So it's really both. So he says that going hand in hand, looking at both of them, is why we have the davening that we have today.
Which karbanos Yaakov Samechan?
The fats and the limbs. That's why it was Rishus, but...